Stand by, we're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Team DB2 Space Management Challenges with DB2 Storage Management Utility Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. And for opening remarks and introductions, I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Sally Tuscany. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. And good day to everybody, and thank you so much for your time. Today we're going to introduce ways to help you manage your DB2 DASD space. And to present today, we have two of our very best speakers. First, we'll have Elaine Morelli, who's a Senior Certified Consulting IT Specialist with IBM. And then Elaine will be handing it over to Doug Clifton, who is also a Senior Certified Consulting IT Specialist. So thank you very much for your time, Elaine and Doug. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Elaine.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to just give you a little bit of background on our slides. If you're looking for the page numbers, they're in the bottom right-hand corner. And as you can see, the title of our presentation today is the IBM DB2 Storage Management Utility, which we're going to be presenting a new product that IBM announced several weeks ago. And we'll be talking how that product can help you manage your DB2 storage issues. So let's begin our presentation today by going to slide 2, where we can see our agenda for the day. We're going to begin with an overview of some storage management issues, and then I'm going to present the features and functions of our new product, the Storage Management Utility. I'm going to then pass the presentation over to Doug Clifton, and he will be presenting three scenarios which can demonstrate the usability of the Storage Management Utility in a real-life presentation. After the presentation, we will entertain questions and then any other comments that you may want to add. So let's get started on the presentation by going to slide 3. Slide 3 is entitled, Ask Yourself the Following Questions. So this is a list of questions that you may have asked yourself in the recent past or, you know, long time ago. But first, have you ever felt challenged when it comes to analyzing space within your DB2 environment? Do you have any tools that can help you? Are those tools satisfactory? Is there something that they could do better? Secondly, do you need a way to preview your growth trends? Capacity planners and DBAs really need to understand data and how it's growing in order to ensure that you have adequate DASB to store your data. Third, have you ever wanted to view a map of the space being used by the pages in DB2? And fourth, do you have any widows or orphans? Now, if you don't know what those are, we'll talk about those on the presentation. But you may not know that you have any, and with our product, you'll find that we can help you identify that. So let's go on to page 4, or slide 4. Now, storage management issues with the DB2 have been around for a long time. Issues such as file placements, extent problems, fragmentation, validity of pages. Have you ever had a broken page? All of these things can impact your performance of DB2 and the health of DB2. So for those of you who have worked in DB2 for many years, think back to how maybe you placed objects on DASB. It could not even be DB2, it could even be VSAM. A number of people were involved in those things. The DBA found it necessary to work closely with operators, storage managers, systems programmers, and performance analysts. Today we often hear the phrase, DASB is cheap. It's cheap compared to the prices in the past, but it's also cheap until you ask for it. I can remember a long time ago when I had a real job, I would have to manage my DASB space manually. And so I would map out my data sets across the various DASB packs, making sure I put the indexes on one pack and the data on another pack, perhaps putting partitions across different packs so I didn't have a lot of I/O overhead all on the same pack. Can you imagine trying to do that today with DB2 version 8, 4,096 partitions? You'd be nuts. So another thing that happened a lot years ago was extents. That was another really important issue. And I can remember if a table space was in 5 extents, everybody would be up in arms, and we'd have to do a reorg immediately. Today, multiple extents are not as big of a concern. However, there are limits to what is acceptable from a performance perspective. So let's turn to slide 6 and to look at what we have today. Today we have SMS, which is a wonderful thing. You no longer have to sit there and plot out where to place data sets. And regardless, there are some situations where that location of the data set does have an impact. I've been talking to a number of customers recently who even are using SMS but are finding it necessary to perhaps move a data set away from where it's been located by SMS for performance reasons. So SMS has eliminated that need to sit there and manually map out your data sets, but you still have a need to understand where those data sets are stored and how it's impacting your performance. There are other things that are still or not addressed by SMS, broken pages, data set validity. Those things still remain a concern. So let's go on to the next slide, which is actually slide 6. I'm sorry, I said slide 6 the last time. This is slide 6 entitled, IBM has provided some facilities to assist you in a couple of the DB2 database tools offerings. So we have provided a couple of tools that would help you in this area. The SMU product that we're going to be talking about in more detail today is a new offering, but our DB2 automation tool has been around for several years and has had two facilities that would help you. The first is the data page display, which can provide verification reports about the health of a page. You can display the contents of the page, and you can provide an easy-to-use interface whereby you can repair those errors. Now, I know when I was a DBA, I had a developer walk up to me one day, and they had this message, and they gave it to me, and they said, I don't know what this is. So I went, and I looked at the message. I looked up the message number, and it said, broken page. Well, something I hadn't really faced before, something I didn't really want to have to face, so I kindly told them to go away. I'd get back to them, and I went and got the manuals out, and I had to look it all up. I had to do a lot of reading. And trying, the first thing that came to my mind is, how many of these broken pages do I really have? And then we very carefully, as a group of DBAs, plotted out the action that we were going to take to fix that broken page. Well, with our DB2 automation tool, this facility can bring it up and assist you where you can see what you're fixing and kind of eliminate the errors that you would make if you were trying to do that manually. The second feature of our automation tool is the Data Set Manager. Now, this facility assists the user in relocating objects. You can display the table space or the index space attributes. You can move data sets to other volumes. You can change it from a STO group defined to a VCAT defined or vice versa. And you can actually change the sizes of the objects using this facility. On slide 7 is another tool that has helped us with the DB2 administration tool. Now, the DB2 administration tool is one of our most popular tools. And it has a feature known as the Space Manager. The Space Manager can do things like display your statistics from two views. It can be from a VSAM perspective or from a DB2 perspective. Both means help you support wildcarding. In other words, you can just bring up a whole list of objects to see that information. Now, I remember when I used to do that, I used to have to put that information in a spreadsheet. I didn't have anything as nice as this that would come up and give me that list very quickly. The Space Manager also allows the user to alter page set properties such as free page, percent free, compression, your erase rule. And by tweaking those, you can actually come up and give you an estimate of the size that you would need to have that object defined as. So let's say somebody comes up and tells you they're going to load 13 million rows tonight. That would help you adjust your sizes so that you don't run out of space. Again, objects can be resized. Space Manager can work against a real DB2 catalog or a copy of a DB2 catalog. And so that's a really handy thing so that you're not hitting that live catalog. You don't have any contention. Now, these storage management features in the DB2 automation tool and the DB2 administration tool will remain, even though we have this new product called the DB2 Storage Management Utility. However, any of the new storage management capabilities, any enhancements that we're going to add, are going to be added to the new Space Management Utility offering. So let's go to slide 8 and start looking at what the DB2 Storage Management Utility is. It's a high level, we're going to give you a high level overview of the utility and then talk about some of the details. This is commonly referred to internally as SMU. And for those of you who perhaps used Candle database tools in the past, SMU may be a familiar name. SMU is a subset of the storage management utilities or capabilities found in the old DB DASY and DB Smooth products from Candle Corporation. And as I know most of you know, we acquired Candle Corporation several years ago. Smooth can be used to assist with the tuning of the DB2 environment for performance by providing useful information. For example, you can see the number of over-allocated data sets, migrated data sets, and multi-volume data sets. It can also be used to assist with capacity planning, the number of data sets, the number of extents, the amount of space allocated compared to the amount used. And Smooth uses a set of batch jobs to produce this valuable information. It does have an ISPF interface that you can generate a series of batch jobs as well. On the next slide, slide 9, we'll see some more details about Smooth. As I said earlier, it has an ISPF interface. It provides a facility to verify the integrity of DB2 tablespaces. The DB2 automation tool, which I mentioned earlier, provides a similar capability. However, Smooth actually does twice the number of verification checks than the DB2 automation tool did. Smooth will allow you to view space map pages. It can also be used to simplify the cleanup of non-existing and forgotten DB2 objects, that is, the orphans and the widows. And Doug will take you through a scenario of identifying orphans and widows. Now, an orphan is what we mean by orphan. It's when a physical VSAN data set exists that is not tied to a DB2 object. So in other words, there's no object in the catalog, but the data set is still out on the DASD. And with our Smooth product, you can go in and delete those orphans. A widow, on the other hand, is when the object exists in DB2 in the catalog, but it does not have a corresponding VSAN data set. And the Smooth product will allow you to drop widows. On the next slide, slide 10, is a diagram, a schematic of the Smooth architecture. Now, Smooth works against an extraction of the DB2 catalog. Therefore, it does not cause any contention against the real catalog. On the left-hand side of the chart, you'll see we have a scan function. And this is the facility that analyzes the data pages and helps produce the verification reports. On the right-hand side of the diagram is the facility where you see a space map pages. They can be analyzed and reported on. And you'll see below that there are a number of different reports that can be produced from each function. On the next slide, slide 11, we'll talk a little bit more about scanning and some of these capabilities of Smooth. So we're going to look at scan first, and the purpose of the scan is to verify the integrity of the databases and table spaces. Now, there are scan capabilities both in DB2 itself and, in the DB2 automation tool, but the scan in this storage management utility is much more comprehensive. You don't have to stop DB2 or the data spaces in order to do the scan. The output is a set of statistics and reports. And these reports can be saved in a PDF for further review in the future. In other words, this provides you the capability of gathering historical information that you can keep. The scan will read all of the pages and analyze them to see if there are any integrity problems. If there are, the occurrences can be displayed in the output report, and any errors can be corrected immediately via a repair utility. On page 12, we see a little bit more about space mapping. This is the second major function. It analyzes the space map pages by providing an overall picture of the condition of a given space. Now, a scan that we talked about just earlier takes a little time to run because it does a lot of verification, a lot of checking. Whereas the space mapping capability, this runs faster. You can run it more frequently. You could actually run this daily, so that you could analyze your space and get an overall picture of the condition of a given space. It's not as comprehensive as the scan, but because you can use it more frequently, you have a better picture of your health overall. The output of this space mapping is a set of reports and graphs and detailed mapping. The analysis consists of analyzing the space map pages and reporting on them. On the next page is an additional some capabilities. There are three types of storage management exceptions, as you may call them. As I said earlier, the Smooth can be used to look at migrated data sets. You can display, you can recall, or delete any migrated data sets. Orphan data sets can also be deleted or identified, as I said earlier. These are VSAN data sets, like I said, that don't have any parent entities in the catalog. DB2 doesn't know what to do with these things, and so SMU can help you take care of those. And the same is true for widows, so that the widows can be dropped. Well, that's the overview. I'm going to turn this over to Doug Clifton, and Doug is going to present three scenarios which can demonstrate the value that SMU can bring to your organization. So, Doug, on to you.
Good day, everybody. If we go to the next slide, please, then we've got the title slide for three scenarios, and I'm just going to walk you through several different situations that you can use the storage management utility for. Let's go to the next slide, please, slide 15. And what we're going to look at is how can we use the product to do the space management. You know, what's out there in the DB2 data sets, the page sets, the index spaces, what's in SMS, the VCAT type of information, DASD volumes, objects that exist across multiple volumes. So we're going to take a look at that. How do we use the product to identify errors? And then I've got a couple of scenarios where I'm going to walk you through how to deal with widows and orphans using DB2 SMU. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, this particular slide that I'm showing you a picture of the product's primary menu. At the top of the slide, you can see that we've got a DB2 subsystem ID, top left-hand corner. We've got a command line, the name of the product, and then we've got a lot of different user options. Now, this product, Elaine had pointed it out a little bit, that we use extracts and scans to get some of the information. Now, on the extracts, what that is a batch job that you'd run on a fairly regular basis after hours, where the product will go through the DB2 catalog. It'll look at what objects are in the catalog, what objects exist on DASD, and we build that information into a repository within the product. And that's what these ISPF panels are going to report on, is that scan. Down at the bottom of the page, that you can see that we show a last extract run in this particular case of March 6, 2007, at 12:26. So that was about noon central time in the U.S. The controls that you have user settings for yourself. Now, there's default settings for the product, and then each user can set up their own settings as well. We have displays for the volumes so that we can see what page sets exist on particular volumes. The multi-volume report, I'm going to show you an example of that, where an object actually exists on multiple volumes. We can view it by databases, data spaces. We can use the product to identify orphans, widows. We can look at the information by STO group, by VCAT. We can get DASD summaries, and I'll show you some of the summary reports that we have. We can look at it by SMS group as well. So a lot of shops are moving towards SMS-managed data sets, or they are already there, but they still need a good way of being able to view that information. So Elaine had mentioned the administration tool, the Space Manager, built into that and the reporting capabilities that it has. And SMU really expands on that type of information. Recall options, migrated page sets. You can use the recall options within SMU to do an HSM recall, bring it back, identify which page sets have been migrated. You can also use the product to delete migrated data sets if you no longer need those. We do have batch jobs. You can set up batch jobs to do the scan. You can set up batch jobs to do the extract. You can also print any of these reports straight to the JES spool. So if there's any reports that you want to be able to get and be able to save that off as a batch report, the product will allow you to do that as well. You can also access this information via SQL. And we have a bottom right-hand corner of the panel. You see we have an SQL command that you can issue. And we'll bring up a panel where you can either choose SQL statements stored in the PDFs, or you can key in an SQL statement to access the information. You also have filtering capabilities with this particular product so that you can control the information in the list. Maybe you're looking for page sets within a specific database or table spaces that are like a certain name or a certain owner or something like that. So you can filter those lists. We have a full range of filtering commands that you can use. And it makes the list easier to manage and also allows you to perform tasks on many table spaces in a single execution so that you're not having to do it page set by page set to be able to perform these particular functions that you want to do. Now, if we go to page 17, please, this is the next slide. And here I started off by just starting to display the SMS information for you. I did not filter this particular report. I just wanted to show all the objects that were in this particular subsystem. On the right-hand corner, top right-hand corner, you'll see that under the scroll line that we have space 1,158 of 13,579 spaces. So that gives us an indication that we need to be able, or that there's a lot more information than what we're displaying on the current screen. To make it easier for you, in addition to the filtering, you also have a locate or find command. So if you know there's a specific object that you want to look for, you can do a locate or you can do a find on that, and the list will bring that object to the top for you. You have a sort command. For example, you may want to sort on extents, descending, so that you see the objects with the most extents at the top or the most allocated tracks or how much has been used or something like that. So it's very easy to be able to identify pieces of information that you're looking for. Now, on this screen, under Vol Seer, third from the bottom, you'll see that we show an object that is in error status. So this is an object that's either a widow or an orphan, which means that you can see that the store class, management class, data class are all not available. So this is very possibly a widow where the VCM data set doesn't exist at all. And we'll go to slide 18, please. What I did from the SMS is I selected, this is from the initial menu as well. I went into DASD summary history and for this particular subsystem, and you can see looking at the columns of data, we have things like date and time, number of volumes, number of data sets, how many data sets have been migrated. You can see that I've got 7 data sets that have been migrated. I've got 237 data sets in error. You know, you can tell that on our particular internal system that we don't do a lot of management on that because we would prefer that number to be quite a bit less. We show you the number of megabytes that have been allocated, how much has been used. So, again, you can see that we are way over-allocated in this particular subsystem. Now, to get more detail about this particular subsystem, I typed a D on my selection line on the left-hand side, and I hit Enter. And if we go to page 19, and you can see the date and time of a particular extract. And as I mentioned, the extract is where we started a batch job that went to the DB2 catalog, the VCM data sets, to pull this information in. We show the number of volumes, data sets migrated, how much is allocated, how many tracks per data set, and how much has actually been used. If we go to the next slide, please, slide 19. And from the main menu, I also did a display multiple data set or multiple volume data sets. So here I've got one table space that goes across two particular volumes. It shows me the number of partitions that are on each volume. That would be column PT within the data display. The number of whether it's an index or not, and you can see that this particular one is an index. It's got an I in there. Primary tracks for each one, secondary tracks, how much has been used on the right-hand side, what vol seer it happens to be on, and then it gives us totals at the bottom of the page. Now, from this particular display, I can also drill down for more information. The details, get a list of the objects, what SMS information may be available for it. I can also specify a scan. And I've got a couple of slides on what the scan is a little bit further down in this particular presentation, so we'll be able to talk about that a little bit. We can look at the space map. How is it actually laid out on that DASD volume? Okay? And then we can also take a look at extents, if this happens to be in extents. Let's go to the next page, please, 21. Now, the space scan reporting, when you decide that you want to scan a particular page set, whether it be a table space or an index space, the scan is actually going to go against the physical space itself. Whereas all the previous reports we were looking at the extract information, which is in the repository for the product. But a scan, when you start that, we actually go against the physical object that you want to scan. We create reports from that scan. We have quite a few different things that we look for during the scan. It's not just size and free space and number of extents and that type of thing, but Elaine had mentioned things like broken pages. You know, are all the links okay? Is it a widow? Is it an orphan? And then, I forget how many, 100, more than 100 different types of checks that you can do. And you can control those particular checks as well. There's options where you can turn them off and turn them on within the product so that when you do a scan, you can scan for specific problems. Now, in this particular case, what you're looking at here is I've got a couple of red circles on the display. One, near the top third of the panel, you'll see select here to perform a new full space scan now. Okay, so if I typed an S there, hit enter, we would perform that scan against this particular object. Now, one thing to remember about, or one thing to know about this particular scan is that we do depend on extract information. So before you start a scan, you want to make sure that the extract is up to date so the scan knows what it's going after. Now, I've already completed the scan. And down at the bottom of the particular display, you'll see that we have a date and a time, reorg factor, copy factor, and on the very right-hand side of that line, you'll see that we do have reports for this particular object. So what I can do is I can tab down next to that line item, type S to display the reports, and when we go to page 22, you'll see here's our table space stats for this particular table space. Top of the panel, it shows table space BPA-BUF. Okay? So I've got a report for pages, pointers, free space, DASD rows, and row space type of information. Now, if I'm interested in specific information, I just type that selection number in the command line at the top of the panel. Or if I want to review each report that is available, all I have to do is hit enter. And if we go to page 23, please, you'll see that here's our first one of our displays, the free space analysis. I went into option 3. And so it shows me in this particular panel pages with no room, pages for short rows, room for average rows, rooms for long row, free space specified, and then we've got number of pages, percent of all pages, and then the size for each of those line items. So you can see that within this particular space, I've got 60 pages with no rows, or with no room for any additional rows, and that's 71% of my space. Each one is a 4K page size. I don't have any pages available for short rows. I don't have room for any average rows, but I do have 24 pages for long rows, which is 28.57% of my space. And one thing we may want to consider looking at this is that I may want to adjust my free page and my free space in this particular one. I'd have to take a look at the row sizes and that type of thing to make a decision, but at least looking at this, I know if I have a very active table, I may want to consider adjusting my free space so that I don't get into extents and having rows that are far off from where they should be. And on the bottom right-hand corner of the panel, you also see that we have a reorg factor, so that it gives you a idea of would it be a good idea to reorg the space so that we can redistribute the rows a little bit and allow additional inserting. But again, I would have to consider how active is this particular space. We go to page 24, please. Now, what I did after that is I just hit enter, and I went to my next report from the scan, which is the DASD space analysis. And so here we're talking about row data, pages with overhead, wasted space, free space, empty space, unformatted empty space, how much is allocated and not used, and then the total space. And in this particular case, you can see that I've got 59 pages that actually have row data in them. It gives me amount of space that you use, percent used, and then the total space for each one. You can also see that I've highlighted two lines there, pages with wasted space and pages with free space. And the amount of space on these wasted space is 0K, okay? And then I've got 5K of free space on each one of those. But within that 59 pages, I've got 5K of free space. So I don't have very much free space for inserts at all. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please, page 25. I hit enter again, and then here's my table row summary. It shows my number of rows within the table, percent of total, pages occupied, rows per page. You can see I'm only getting 12 rows per page, so you know, I'm getting some pretty long rows in there. But I don't have any dropped rows within this particular space. This particular space I'm displaying is just something that was used for insert only, and then it would get dropped down the road. Let's go to page 26, please. Okay. This is the pages analysis report from the scan. So, again, pages with number of rows, how many control pages are in there, empty pages, unformatted pages. Update pages, updated tracks, empty pages down at the bottom, and then you can see I've got a copy factor of 0, and because there are really no updates to this particular one, and it had been copied after the last insert was done. So right now this space is not in need of an image copy. Go to page 27, please. And after we finish the scan, with one of the reports that will show up is if any errors were detected during the scan. And here you can see that the table space is okay. All tests passed. No errors were detected. So I could hit enter here or press PF3 to return to my selection list. Go to page 28, please. Now, this particular report, I started at the main menu. I said I want to see my spaces by VCAP. And so here I've got my database, my space name, again, primary quantity, secondary quantity, number of extents, allocated tracks, the vol sear. On the very right-hand side, you'll see that I've got a column called DM, and that's an indication, if it has an asterisk in there, that it's managed by SMS. So if there was no asterisk, then that would mean that it was a user-defined physical space. Let's go to the next slide, please. Slide 29. Now, I did this display. I said I wanted to see all my spaces by volume. Show me all my volumes that have DB2 spaces in here. I think this is a very good report. As Elaine had mentioned about managing where your spaces are, what volumes are they on, volume names change. Sometimes you want to consolidate things, move them from one volume to another. So this is a very easy way of being able to determine what volumes actually contain DB2 data. In this particular case, I did a sort first, and you can see that my first vol sear is error. We'd mentioned that a little bit before. That's where we've got widows or orphans. So we've got either data sets that exist and there's no information in the DB2 catalog about that data set, or we've got widows where we get information in the DB2 catalog but no data sets to match. At the top of the panel, the particular display on the command line, you'll see an example of the sort command. Here I'm saying I want to sort extents descending so I can see the ones that have the greatest number of extents. And then as we go through, you can see the vaults here, number of data sets, number of extents on that particular volume. Now, that doesn't mean that you have data sets and extents. That's just telling you that for a particular volume, let's take the second line right there. We have 107 data sets. We have 124 extents so that we know that there's only a few actual spaces that are in multiple extents. Number of tracks, the allocated and the used, how much of the volume is actually allocated to DB2 space. And then on the right-hand side, you'll see that we have available tracks showing and also whether it's SMS managed. Let's go to page 30, please. I selected from that panel spaces on error. In other words, which ones had a particular error. So here I can see my database name, my space name, number of partitions, indexes, primary quantity, secondary quantity, number of extents. You can see zero, allocated tracks is zero, used tracks. So those are all zero. Those are good indication that we do have some widows out there where the data sets have been removed. Now, we can go into details on some of these to see what's going on, but things like SMS info, the scan, the space map, and extents, you'll get a message that data set not found. So we can't actually look at that type of information for the widows. Let's go to page 31. Now, to take care of widows, hey, essentially what we're going to try to do with those is we're going to just generate a drop. So, and that's how you take care of it. Now, if you had to do this for each one, you know, you'd have to code up a drop, table space, database name, table space name, and so on. And this particular product will actually generate that for you. What I could have done from the previous panel is I could have selected multiple objects to be able to work with, or from this particular panel, I can wildcard. I can specify my VCAT name, and in this particular case in the middle of the panel, you'll see that I have DSN BCAT for my VCAT name, and I'm going to go after a specific database, a VBA105. Now, you can wildcard that as well. So if you want to get more than just one this one particular database, you can do that. You can also specify the number of commits. We had 230 widows or objects in error. So if I wanted to, I could have wildcarded there, pick up all the objects under DSN BCAT that are widows. I can specify the number of commits. So I can say after every 10 drops I want to commit, or if I specify zero, then we'll wait until the end of all the drops before we perform the commit. After I specify this information, I hit enter. I paid, let's go to the next slide, 32, and I displayed a PDS member where we specify those particular objects that we're going to perform drops on. Now, you can see this information right here does not look like a SQL drop. It's just information, internal information, essentially saying that there's my data set name. Okay, so I've got DSN BCAT and then DBA105, and I'm going after an index. So that's just the way my index would happen to be named. And what we will do, we go to page 33, is that we can say that we want to go ahead and convert that to JCL. We want to edit the control cards. We want to delete the saved statements. We want to print it. Or we can just go ahead and exit right now, and we can come back in later to generate the JCL to do that drop for us. Okay. So I specify option one, build the JCL to convert. And if we go to slide 34, you'll see the next option panel. Now, SMU has its own set of installed data sets. So this particular panel, it's looking for the job card option. So you can use the job card that's defined in the SMU PDS. Okay, so here you can see that we've got a user data set where that job card happens to be specified, or you can point at your own job card so that we can just insert that job card into the JCL and be able to execute. Okay, so if we go to page 35, please. On this particular scenario, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at orphans. How do we take care of orphans? And the orphans are the linear data set exists, but no DB2 object is in the catalog. So it's similar to the way that we started with the widows. We're going to specify a VCAT name. In this particular case, we got DSN VCAT, got a database name, which is DBA105, and then we'd hit enter. Now, one thing, this is one area where we do have to be careful with this particular product. One, you're going to have authority to be able to do the VSAM deletes on these particular objects. So if you don't have that particular authority within your security package, you're not going to be able to do these deletes. But you can get it set up to give to somebody to submit if you if somebody else has that authority. You also want to use this facility only if you have clear and enforced standards for the use of VCAT names. Okay? So if you may have VCAT names that span multiple databases, or you want to use a wildcard, or something like that, you could end up with potential problems outside of the particular subsystem that you're working with. For example, if I did... DSN A CAT, and I had multiple subsystems using that particular VCAT, and they had similar database names, I could actually accidentally delete data sets that I did not want deleted in those other subsystems. So you need to understand your naming standards and make sure that they would be unique for the particular system. And let's go to the next slide, please. And now, in this particular panel, what I'm showing you is that I've got one orphan within my particular database, and there you can see the idgams delete command for that particular object. And we're going to delete it at the cluster level. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. On the next one, we can delete it now or save it for later. And so you have that option, invoke idcams to execute the statements. You can edit them, delete them, print them again. You know, a lot of people like being able to print these off and hold them. Or you can choose option 5. It'll be saved in a PDS member where you can come back in later and perform those functions against that particular object. Let's go to the next slide, please. And right here is where I'm going to turn it back over to Elaine Morelli.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, I thought I was on mute. I apologize. That's sometimes when you're in these rooms with these phones, you don't know. Okay, so thank you, Doug. Again, on this slide, it's just kind of a recap of what we've talked about. In March of 2007, we announced IBM announced a new product called the DB2 Storage Management Utility. And this is a list of the things that it can do for you. It can display information by volume, database, or data space to assist with the identification of a DASDE constraint. It can produce a lot of reports for you, as you've seen what Doug showed you online. And remember, we also can do these in batch. It can help you locate DB2 widows and orphans and take care of them. We have a scan capability where you can scan table spaces and index spaces to help verify their integrity. And the numbers of scans that are done, I mean the number of tests that are done by using the scan is within the hundreds. SMU can also help you review SpaceSat pages to produce detailed reports and graphs showing you the condition of your spaces. This helps you be more proactive so that you don't get surprises. It also can help you repair those. You can display information about over-allocated data sets that are in extents, and the amount of space allocated compared to the amount of space used. And Doug showed you some really good examples where we were very much over allocated, and maybe you're trying to get space for something else so you can readjust and map out your space to other applications or other data sets. And again, I think importantly is that SMU does maintain historical information. So if you're in a position where you're trying to do some trend analysis to determine, do you have, you know, what are you going to need for growth? Do we need to acquire some more DASB? How are our objects growing? Do we need to watch them closely to add more space at periodic times? The SMU product can help you do that. On the next slide, which is slide 39, is a little bit about storage management. I've listed the three products that are offerings that we have. Our administration tool, we do some scans there, but they're done against the DB2 catalog or the copy of the DB2 catalog. It can provide a verification report. It is more of a high-level capability. Primarily, the administration tool is really good for helping you estimate your space sizes. If you're going to add some rows to an existing object, you're creating some new objects for a new application that you're running, or perhaps you've bought a third-party product, and you need to be able to size that to determine, you know, do you have how much space you're going to need to install that product. Our administration tool can help you do that. It also allows you to view statistics via a DB2 perspective or from a vSAN perspective, and you can very easily toggle back and forth between both views. And you can generate a repair utility out of the admin tool. On the far right is a little bit about our automation tool. I talked to you about our two features in there, the data page display with its verification reports. It does a lot of the things that the scan from SMU can do, but not as detailed. So it does help you identify problem areas, and after you've identified those, you can go in through the ISPF interface, and it will walk you through repairing a broken page. In addition to that, that has the data set manager, where we can look and display your table space and index space attributes, and will help you move data sets from one place to another, or maybe even redefine or resize them. And in the middle is our newest product, our storage management utility. Again, the scans, we have many, many scans helping you identify your problems. These are done against an extract of the DB2 catalog, so you are not going against the live catalog, bothering your applications. I lost my words there. We have some history capabilities within SMU, again, helping you identify widows and orphans, and also being able to repair broken pages. So the last slide is questions. I'm going to turn the mic over to Enola to see if we have any questions from our audience, and I thank you again for joining us. Enola?
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And once again, please press star 1 at this time to ask a question. And I'll pause just for a moment to assemble the roster. We'll take our first question from Chris Sutter.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Elaine. This is Chris up in Lawson Pikes in Illinois.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Could you recap the statement was made about what feature was remaining in the admin tool but wouldn't be enhanced? It's moving over to SMU.
Okay, that's the space management capability. Within our admin tool, you can use the space management utility to, like I said on that last chart, where you can scan, you can size things, you can estimate sizes, and you can actually go in and we integrate with our alter capability. So that if you want to say, I'm going to alter this table, maybe I need to alter the primary quantity, secondary quantity, and you want to do an estimate, that will remain. That's not going away. What I'm saying is that anything that we're adding to a product from a feature function that will enhance DASB management capabilities, that's going to be put into the new SMU product. Does that help you?
Yeah. And secondly, I kind of got myself lost on the slides with the other gentleman, how he jumped from, on slide 30, he had these spaces on air, and then he went to the next slide, and it came up with the VCAT name, or did he specify that? Was there a correlation between those going from slide 30 to 31?
Okay. Yeah,
this is Doug. I apologize for that. I probably should have put a little title slide up there or something like that. The spaces on error, what I had done was I had gone back to the main menu and then went into the widow's option.
Oh, okay, okay. And from there you made your specifications and drilled down, right?
Right, that is correct. Yeah, I should have been a little more clear about that because, like you said, what I was trying to do was avoid having to put a lot of pictures into this that didn't really reflect what we were doing.
Sure. And could you give a little more detail on how you're identifying the widows?
Right. If you go back to page 30.
Uh-huh.
Let me find a better page.
You want to go to that page when you first started, Doug?
Yeah. Where's that guy?
Page 17.
I'm kind of curious how you go about identifying the widows. Those are the ones in the catalog without data sets?
That is correct. For example, if you go back to page 17, the third row from the bottom of the display.
Third row, correct.
Okay, under Vol Seer, it shows error.
Correct.
Okay, that means that there is no existing data set for that particular object.
So you're doing some type of scan of the DB2 catalog from that report, the extract feature?
Right. The extract is what identified this. It goes to the DB2 catalog, and then it will go to the MVS catalog.
So you're bouncing it off of there. And all throughout any of these functions, you made the statement that the data sets are available, that they do not need to be in a stop state?
That is correct. For example, this information that we're looking at right now is from the extract. So we're strictly looking at the repository for SMU. Even when we would do a scan to get the details about, I showed you how many rows were on a page, how much wasted space there was, and that type of thing, we're going against the physical page set for that scan, but it still doesn't have to be taken offline for that.
Okay, and any action you take based on that scan, you're still good to go, huh?
That is correct.
Because like currently in the admin tool, I find a lot of times, like using the space management feature, you know, if there's a thread bouncing on it, you know, a lot of times I've got a database ID lock going and I can't do an alter.
Right. The admin tool, other than some of the VCAT type of information that it pulls in, the admin tool goes against the DB2 catalog for its information. So, yeah, you can run across some timeouts.
Okay. Well, thanks. Hold on. I have a question. This is Dennis Bichette at Lawson Products. How do you associate, when you're looking at linear data sets that are not in the DB2 catalog, how do you come up with your scenario to say that this linear VCM data set was ever associated with a DB2 file or a DB2 catalog entry? Is there some sort of setup hierarchy that you key in to say these were associated with DB2 catalog entries?
Well, that was my caveat about having strict standards about your naming standards for VCAT names.
Correct.
Because, and of course, a DB2 has, you know, very specific naming standards because the, let's see, second node is always going to be a DSN DB something or other.
Right.
So what I do, even when I go in and say that I'm looking for orphans, here's my VCAT name, I'll always review that PDS member it creates with those deletes, just to make sure that somebody didn't go out and name something that they shouldn't have.
Okay. Right. All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I'd like to remind everyone, star 1 for questions at this time. If you have any questions or comments, star 1 at this time. And it appears we have no further questions. Ms. Tuscany, I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, Elaine and Doug, for your time and expertise this morning. And thanks to our customers for joining us. I certainly found this session interesting and informative, and I hope all of you did as well. If you should come up with any questions after the session today, please feel free to give me a call. Again, my name is Sally Tuscany, and I can be reached at 724-940-6506. Or you can reach me at my email at Tuscany, T as in Tom, O-U-S-C-A-N-Y, at us.ibm.com. Just for those of you who have been joining us each week for these sessions, next Tuesday we will be discussing techniques for auditing your IMS environment. So if you have IMS, I hope you'll join us. And that's all we have for today. Thanks again for your time.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference.